The puppeteers had the right idea. They sent a man to the Corps as a publicity stunt because they wanted financing for research. He sent back pictures like that one. Before he'd even landed, the puppeteers were gone. There wasn't a puppeteer on any human world. We won't do it that way. We'll wait and we'll wait, and when we finally decide to move, we'll have to ship trillions of sentient beings completely out of the galaxy. We'll need the biggest, fastest ships we can build, and we'll need as many as we can get. We need the puppeteer drive now, so that we can start improving it now. Okay, I'm going with you. Louis, interrupted in mid-lecture, said, Huh? I'm going with you, said Teela Brown. You're out of your mind. Well, you're going, aren't you? Louis clamped his teeth on the explosion. When he did speak, he spoke more calmly than the situation deserved. Yes, I'm going, but I've got reasons you don't, and I'm better at staying alive than you are because I've been at it longer. But I'm luckier, Louis snorted. And my reasons for going may not be as good as yours, but they're good enough. Her voice was high and thin with anger. The Tanj they are. Teela tapped the face of the reading screen. A bloated comma of Nova light flared beneath her fingernail. That's not a good reason. We'll get the puppeteer drive whether you come or not. You heard Nessus, there are thousands like you. And I'm one of them. All right, you're one of them, Louis flared. What are you so Tanj protective about? Did I ask for your protection? I apologize. I don't know why I tried to dictate to you. You're a free adult. Thank you. I intend to join your crew. Teela had gone icily formal. The hell of it was, she was a free adult. Not only could she not be coerced, an attempt to order her about would be bad manners and, more to the point, wouldn't work. But she could be persuaded. Then think about this, said Louis Wu. Nessus has gone to great lengths to protect the secrecy of this trip. Why, what's he got to hide? That's his business, isn't it? Maybe there's something worth stealing wherever we're going. So what? Where we're going is 200 light years from here. We're the only ones who can get there. The ship itself, then? Whatever was unusual about Teela, she was no dummy. Louis himself hadn't thought of that. Then think about our crew, he said. Two humans, a puppeteer, and a Kazin. None of us professional explorers. I see what you're doing, but honestly, Louis, I am going. I doubt you can stop me. Then you can at least know what you're getting into. Why the odd crew? That's Nessus's problem. I'd say it's ours. Nessus gets his orders directly from those who lead, from the puppeteer headquarters. I think he figured out what those orders meant just a few hours ago. Now he's terrified. Those priests of survival have got four games going at once, not counting whatever it is we'll be exploring. He saw that he had Teela's interest, and he pressed on. First, there's Nessus. If he's mad enough to land on an unknown world, can he possibly be sane enough to survive the experience? Those who lead have to know. After they reach the clouds of Magellan, they'll have to set up another commercial empire. The backbone of their commerce is the mad puppeteers. Then there's our furry friend. As ambassador to an alien race, he should be one of the most sophisticated Kazinti around. Is he sophisticated enough to get along with the rest of us? Or will he kill us for elbow room and fresh meat? Third, there's you and your presumed luck, a blue sky research project if I ever heard of one. Fourth is me, a presumably typical explorer type. Maybe I'm the control. You know what I think? Louis was standing over the girl now, pounding his words home with an oratorical technique he'd mastered while losing an election for the UN in his middle 70s. He would honestly have denied trying to browbeat Teela Brown, but he wanted desperately to convince her. The puppeteers couldn't care less about whatever planet we're being sent to. Why should they when they're leaving the galaxy? They're testing our little team to destruction. Before we get ourselves killed, the puppeteers can find out a lot about how we interact. I don't think it's a planet, said Teela. Louis exploded.
Tanj, what has that got to do with it?
Well, after all, Louis, if we're going to get killed exploring it, we might as well know what it is. I think it's a spacecraft.
You do?
A big one. A ring-shaped one with a ram scoop field to pick up interstellar hydrogen. I think it's built to funnel the hydrogen into the axis for fusion. You'd get thrust that way, and a sun, too. You'd spin the ring for centrifugal force, and you'd roof the inner side with glass.
Yeah, said Louis, thinking of the odd picture in the holo he'd been given by the puppeteer. He'd spent too little time wondering about their destination.
Could be. Big and primitive and not very easy to steer. But why would those who lead be interested?
It could be a refugee ship. Core races would learn about stellar processes early, with the suns so close together. They might have predicted the explosion thousands of years ahead, when there were only two or three supernovas.
Supernovae.
Could be.
And you've sneaked me right off the subject. I've told you what kind of game I think the puppeteers are playing. I'm going anyway for the fun of it. What makes you think you want to go?
The core explosion.
Altruism is great, but you couldn't possibly be worried about something that's supposed to happen in 20,000 years. Try again.
Damn it, if you can be a hero, so can I. And you're wrong about Nessus. He'd back out of a suicide mission, and why would the puppeteers want to know anything about us or the Kzinti either? What would they test us for? They're leaving the galaxy. They'll never have anything to do with us again.
No, Teela wasn't stupid, but...
You're wrong. The puppeteers have excellent reasons for wanting to know all about us.
Teela's look dared him to back it up.
We don't know much about the puppeteer migration. We do know that every able-bodied, sane-minded puppeteer now alive is on the move. And we know that they're moving at just below light speed. The puppeteers are afraid of hyperspace. Now, traveling at just below light speed, the puppeteer fleet should reach the Lesser Cloud of Magellan in about 85,000 years. And what do they expect to find when they get there?
He grinned at her and gave her the punchline.
Us, of course. Humans and Kzinti, at least.
Cadet Lino and Pierin and Dauphins, probably.
They know we'll wait until the last minute and then run for it. And they know we'll use faster-than-light drives. By the time the puppeteers reach the cloud, they'll have to deal with us, or with whatever kills us off. And by knowing us, they can predict the nature of the killer. Oh, they've got reason enough to study us.
Okay.
Still want to go?
Teela nodded.
Why?
I'll reserve that.
Teela's composure was complete. And what could Louis do about it? Had she been under 19, he would have called one of her parents. But at 20, she was a presumed adult. You had to draw the line somewhere. As an adult, she had freedom of choice. She was entitled to expect good manners from Louis Wu. Certain areas of her privacy were sacrosanct. Louis could only persuade, and at that he had failed. So that Teela didn't have to do what she did next. She suddenly took his hands and, smiling, pleading, said,
"Take me with you, Louis. I'm luck. Really, I am. If Nessus didn't choose right, you could wind up sleeping alone. You'd hate that. I know you would."
She had him in a box. He couldn't keep her off Nessus's ship, not when she could go directly to the puppeteer.
"All right," he said. "We'll call him."
And he would hate sleeping alone. Chapter 4. Speaker to Animals.
"I want to join the expedition," Teela said into the phone screen.
The puppeteer howled on a long-drawn E-flat note.
"I beg your pardon?" "Excuse me," said the puppeteer. "Report to Outback Field, Australia, tomorrow at 0800. Bring personal possessions, not to exceed 50 pounds, earth weight. Louis, you will do the same." "Ah."
The puppeteer raised his head and howled. Anxiously, Louis demanded, "Are you sick?"
"No, I foresee my own death. Louis, I wish that you had been less persuasive. Farewell. We meet at Outback Field."
The screen went dark.
"See," Teela crowed, "see what you get for being so persuasive?"
"Me and my silver tongue. Well, I did my oratorical best. Don't blame me if you die horribly." That night, freely falling in darkness, Louis heard her say,
"I love you. I'm going with you because I love you."
"Love you too," he said with sleepy good manners.
Then it percolated through and he said, "That's what you were reserving?
Mm-hmm. You're following me 200 light-years because you can't bear to let me go.
Yup.